Support for Utah News at 5:30 on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our listeners and by the Herald Journal of Logan, serving readers with print, online, and mobile offerings. Information at hjnews.com. The Herald Journal, empowering the community.
Four people are injured after reported gunfire at a party. A man planning to propose to his girlfriend has died, and police have arrested a man for the murder of a 15-year-old.
Today is Monday, March 19th. It's All Things Considered. I'm Tom Williams.
And I'm Mackenzie Hamilton. This is your 5:30 Utah News.
Police have arrested a man in the killing of a 15-year-old Riverton girl found dead in the Jordan River. UPR's Shalane Smith-Needham has the latest on that case.
31-year-old Daniel Robert Lehigh Ferry has been booked into Salt Lake County Jail for investigation of murder. A witness told police she saw Ferry assault Ann Grace Kasperzak after she refused to have sex with him. The witness says she watched the suspect remove the teen's unconscious body from the home and leave in a vehicle. Police who served a search warrant in a home say they found blood there matching the blood found alongside the Jordan River. Kasperzak's mother had reported her missing March 10th. Her body was spotted by a helicopter March 11th, a few hours after a passerby noticed blood along a river trail. Reporting for Utah Public Radio, this is Shalane Smith-Needham.
Police are seeking information about a shooting that injured four people at a weekend house party in Clearfield. Authorities say they responded to reports of gunfire just after 12:30 a.m. Saturday. Officers saw several people climbing fences and running away from the scene on foot and in vehicles. Three people were taken to a hospital, but the fourth was treated at the scene.
A 32-year-old man involved in a car crash as he planned to propose marriage to his girlfriend has died. The Herald Journal of Logan reports Adam Goodsell died yesterday, 9 days after his vehicle rolled near Wellsville. His family announced his death on a Facebook page set up for friends and family to follow his condition. On the day of the accident, the Preston, Idaho man had purchased an engagement ring for his girlfriend. Goodsell sustained severe head injuries March 9th. Moments before the crash, he called 911 and reported that his gas pedal was stuck, that he'd lost his brakes. Utah Highway Patrol officials have said an initial investigation confirmed mechanical failure in the braking system. Crews at the scene were able to find the ring and give it to his family.
And family members say a Utah State University cross-country runner is staying upbeat, even amid serious injuries from a rappelling accident last week. UPR's Ashley Tolman has more.
21-year-old Brittany Fisher spent the weekend in a Las Vegas hospital instead of competing with her team. She has little sensation in her legs and is expected to have reconstructive surgery on her foot. Fisher, who's from Illinois, went on an early morning climbing excursion with a friend on March 12th while taking a spring break trip in St. George. She was descending a cliff too quickly and was unable to stop, falling about 50 feet. Fisher's coach, Greg Genzel, visited Fisher on Thursday.
She was asking about the team. She was concerned about my family. You know, I mean, all the things that you would think in a situation like that they wouldn't be caring about. And we talk about the task that she's facing. She's even upbeat about that. You know, she's got goals set for 3 months, for 6 months, for a year. She's doing what she does when she runs, just not taking no for an answer.
Reporting for Utah Public Radio, I'm Ashley Tolman.
An autopsy was scheduled today in an effort to determine the cause of death for a 27-year-old man whose body was found in a North Salt Lake rail yard. The body of Brandon Taylor of Salt Lake City was found early yesterday morning. Police tell the Standard Examiner they're not sure if he died at the scene or was transported to the rail yard after his death.
An Ogden man accused in the fatal shooting of a police officer during a drug raid is set for a court appearance. UPR's Ogden correspondent Barbara Bernstein reports.
Matthew David Stewart is charged with one count of capital murder, 7 counts of attempted aggravated murder, and marijuana cultivation. Authorities say he opened fire on them as they served a search warrant on his home January 4th, killing one police officer and injuring 5 others. Stewart has told the Salt Lake Tribune he didn't know they were police and acted in self-defense. Authorities say they found 16 marijuana plants in his home. Weber County Attorney Dee Smith is seeking a gag order in the case during Monday's hearing. Stewart's attorneys want more access to evidence and money to pay for legal experts and investigators. For Utah Public Radio, this is Barbara Bernstein in Ogden.
Police in Springville are looking for victims of a man seen groping women at a Walmart. Authorities say they've already arrested and booked 29-year-old Scott Andrew Halliday of Springfield, Missouri, in connection with the gropings March 11th, but they want to interview a second victim seen on surveillance video and identify any other victims. Officers responded to the store March 11th after hearing a man had followed a woman through the store, then grabbed her between her legs. When they obtained security video a few days later, they saw the suspect had also grabbed the buttocks of another woman.
And it was the quick thinking on the part of a St. George Kmart employee that led to the arrest of a would-be robber, even before the man could hand off his threatening note. Chris Holmes reports from Southern Utah.
St. George police received a call from Kmart Sunday afternoon after employees noticed a man approaching the pharmacy area wearing a motorcycle helmet, sunglasses, gloves, a camouflage jacket, and carrying a large case in one hand and a slip of paper in the other. Within moments, police arrived and confronted the individual. The case contained a typewriter. The handwritten note demanded certain prescription medications and claimed that the briefcase contained a bomb. 26-year-old Clayton Brady Brinkerhoff admitted his intent to rob the pharmacy. He was taken into custody by authorities and charged with felony aggravated robbery. Chris Holmes, UPR News, Cedar City.
Two men have been arrested in a shooting outside a Salt Lake City smoke shop that left the owner's 26-year-old son dead. The two men were arrested during a traffic stop this morning. Police say the shooting that left Stephen Guadalupe Chavez dead began with an argument outside CJ's smoke shop on Wednesday evening.
Health officials in Utah are trying to warn students about the long-term consequences of using glue, markers, and other toxic chemicals to get high. Carrie Bringhurst tells us a survey conducted in Provo and surrounding communities has health officials there concerned.
Utah County authorities are spreading the word as part of a national Inhalants and Poisons Awareness Week, which began yesterday. A recent survey of eighth graders in Utah County shows 9% of students admitted to using inhalants at some point in their lives. That's slightly lower than the national 13% rate of students in grades 8 through 12 who admitted to huffing chemicals. But besides a temporary high, huffing can lead to damage of the brain, heart, kidneys, and other organs. It can also cause loss of consciousness or even sudden death. Health officials say more than 1,000 products on the market are dangerous when they're inhaled. Carrie Bringhurst, Utah Public Radio News.
And Salt Lake City residents got the chance to follow up on what has happened since the 2010 Chevron oil spill that sent more than 30,000 gallons of crude oil flowing into Salt Lake City waterways. On Friday, the city hosted a pipeline safety conference at the Leonardo, where representatives from local and federal government, the pipeline industry, and regulators discussed operations, regulations, prevention, safety preparedness, and initiatives. Carl Weimer, executive director of a Pipeline Safety Trust, says there are federal regulations set by Congress that the city and state cannot sidestep.
There are things that the city can do as far as using their zoning and permitting authority to keep houses and churches and hospitals and schools away from pipelines, or to at least make sure people know when they're buying property if there's a pipeline nearby. They certainly can make sure that their emergency response people are trained.
Salt Lake City resident Patricia Callahan attended the conference to see how she could get more involved and to gauge the accuracy of the information being presented. She says some of it was not accurate, including the fire department claiming it had contacted all residents who lived on Red Butte Creek immediately after the spill. We turn now, as always, to the end of our newscast, to weather. We have with us Robert Davies from the Utah Climate Center. Robert, we've had summer, we've had winter. I don't know where we're heading next.
We're going to go through at least three seasons this week, Tom. We've had this deep low-pressure trough, but it's moving pretty quick. It's brought a lot of cold air into us, in fact, all the way down to northern Mexico. That's going to start moving off tomorrow, and by the end of the week, we're going to be 25 or 30 degrees warmer. So spring by Wednesday and summer by Friday.
Wow. I can use that. Thank you very much. Full forecast from Robert Davies, the Utah Climate Center, in 10 minutes. For the 5:30 Utah News, I'm Tom Williams.
And I'm Mackenzie Hamilton. Thank you for joining us.